Welcome to the beginning of the super terrific happy hour.
Super terrific
happy hour.
Happy hour.
A bunch of us are talking about happy hour.
Yes, welcome to another edition of Super Terrific Happy Hour, episode 43, coming to in quadraphonic sound and technicolor. My name is Matt Neal. I'm the movie reviewer here at the Warrnambool Standard. I'm joined by online editor Jono Peck.
Mr. Anderson, welcome back. We missed you.
And that is the drop that triggers the fact that we have Sean McComish back in the
welcome
studio.
Welcome back. Yep. Welcome back.
Back from the void of mediocrity.
For those that have joined us in the past 30 episodes or however long it's been, Sean used to be a co-host right here at the Standard.
He's a founding father.
He's a founding father, yep, of the Super Terrific Happy Hour.
And he's been off doing other things.
I've been off having other children, and those children didn't really work out so well, and I had to put them down. So I've come back to the only child that lived from the litter. Here I am.
The runt survived. And yeah, but you're not back. This is just a one-off. We can't expect you to be here every week.
No, you can't.
Although you are unemployed, right?
I am. Oh, let's just put that out there.
If you need someone Nothing. Who's good at ranting for yep. a job, maybe do weddings, parties, anything.
If your traffic needs shouting at, or you have religious texts that need to be shouted at pedestrians,
I'd be great at it, wouldn't I? Why aren't you just taking that up freelance, just to get in some practice?
I think they tend to go with people that actually believe.
Yeah, but that's it'd be more fun if you didn't. You could just make it up as you go along. Pretty sure they'd do anyway.
Come on, yeah.
Okay, anyway,
let's get into
it. You're in a mean mood today. What happened to you this morning?
I don't know. I woke up on the wrong side.
Okay.
I don't know.
We're talking about going to the movies, but not just going to the movies. Our weird rules that we have at the movies.
We're talking about movie etiquette.
Yes, rituals, things that have happened to you at the cinema. It's a place like a few other places, isn't it? In the public realm.
Depends on how you think about it.
Well, some people treat it like it's their own living room.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be that way, should it? Now, Matt, you go to the cinema every week.
Yes.
Without question, because it's your job. You get to review movies, and usually you have the room to yourself.
It's like your version of church, except apart from not having it to yourself.
Yeah, well, it's a really poorly attended church.
Yeah.
Like the snake handlers or something.
You go to the movies during the day, though. So that would be like going to the Catholic church on Sunday, I guess. So it'd be just a few of the pews are taken, but
like the early, like the 9 o'clock Sunday morning Catholic church.
Yeah, let's qualify that before we offend all the Catholicism.
I'm a lapsed Catholic. I've been to my share of Catholic masses and seen. Let's talk about movies. Yeah.
Okay.
So I usually go to like the first screening on a Thursday when a movie comes out before people have had a chance for word of mouth to spread. And, you know, no one really goes to movies at 10:40 on a Thursday in Warrnambool. So it's rare when I get just a hold all to myself. I call that a private screening.
Mm-hmm.
But usually there's maybe three people, six people at that first screening.
Mm.
Unless it's school holidays, and then it's nuts. It's full of kids, and it's just the worst time to go and review movies. Right. Especially if you're going to see something like Cinderella, which is aimed at like
children,
really young girls, and you're the only single dude there without children. It's not good.
Do you leave your trench coat at home on those days? Do you sit up the back in your trench coat?
I leave it at home.
We'll get to trench coats later, actually.
Is there a trench coat story?
Oh, well, kind of.
I guess because I go every week and I'm kind of dyed in the wool in my viewing habits and stuff, I hate it when people talk during the movie. Mm-hmm. At all. And I'll do the over the shoulder, like
the quarter turn.
It's like, I am aware that you are talking, you are now aware that I am aware of this. And then after a quarter turn, I might do another longer quarter turn. Then I might do like a full half turn and like with a, are you serious? And then after about the third or fourth, I'll go, can you please be quiet?
And then I actually
tell people to shut up.
Have you ever been threatened?
No, people usually shut up.
Yeah, I guess they're embarrassed.
When was the last time you had to like turn around and say, "Hey, mate, I'm trying to watch Cinderella here."
I'm trying to watch Paul Blart Mall Cop, and it's really hard.
Man, I'm trying to concentrate on 50 Shades of Grey. And you two women just talking about what you're going to do when you get home is just really off-putting. can you?
That happened.
I think the last time I can't remember when the last time was. I was going to say I think it was 50 Shades of Grey, but I don't think it was. I think it was, but it was definitely two women in their 50s who just talked the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like not just a little bit. They just were there for a conversation. Sure. And I told them to shut up.
So, Sean, how do you feel about this? When you're at the movies, what's the ritual?
I think it depends. I think if the movie is shite, I think that warrants for talking through it. Yeah. I know that's subjective. I know that's subjective, but like I've got two examples of films that I've got fond memories of talking through. Actually, I've got three examples. First is Lord of the Rings movie marathon. Went with a good friend of mine. The film was just dragging on, the last one. We'd sat through the first two. It was great. We'd had enough, chocolate and lollies and coke to become diabetic six times over. Mm. It got to the last 30 minutes of that, Return of the King.
That last 30 minutes.
The long and,
goodbye.
Yep. And so we just started chatting and, that was fine. I think that was warranted. Another time, and this is probably my favorite time of ruining a film for people, was... during the showing, the screening of The Passion of the Christ
at
Port Ferry Cinema, which was great because it's... I love Port Ferry Cinema. I love that it exists. I love that there's a great little film society over there. And I love that they'll show art house films here in the Southwest. I
used to
love that
they used to give you a blanket when in you because there was no heating.
And hot water bottles and people bring in cups of tea. And I just think it's...
mulled wine.
Yep. I think it's great. Mm. And this must have been, when the film came out, they started showing Passion of the Christ. And I sat up the back with my father, a lapsed Catholic, and we made Monty Python Life of Brian references through the whole film really loudly. Most recently, though...
I'm sure that was appreciated.
I was at the Astor Cinema in Melbourne on my birthday watching The Blues Brothers with a bunch of friends, and we had pre-drinks before the film.
Uh-oh.
We were drinking during the film. I was with none other than the former candidate for Wannon, Tim Emanuel, and we were Greens candidate for Wannon. We were very loud, very rowdy. The people sitting in front of us during the film did not reappear after intermission.
Hmm. Okay, so Sean clearly doesn't care.
Is this one of those Blues Brothers screenings where everyone gets up and dances and sings to the songs? Like, is one of those
I think it was confused. It was confused. I think some people were clapping and singing. We were just much more into it. And the people in front of us, I don't know if they'd seen it before or they hadn't seen it before. Look, we'd had a lot of booze.
But they weren't down with the whole, interactive audience kind of thing, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But you guys were just talking shit anyway.
We were just singing along with Urethra. Yeah.
So
Urethra.
Urethra.
I thought you said urethra there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Matt, don't go to the movies with Sean, basically, because you'll murder him.
I'd politely ask you to shut up. I used to go to movies with a mate when I was in high school. And so this goes back a long way, this deep-seated need for quiet while we're watching a movie. But my mate used to be a really big talker during movies, and I would tell him to shut up during the movie. And then when it got to a certain point during watching Starship Troopers and he would continually hadn't shut up, I'd just start punching him every time in the arm, every time he spoke. And so he'd say something, I'd just hit him in the arm. And then hit him in the arm. And eventually got the point and stopped talking for the last, 30 minutes of the movie maybe.
Mm. Well,
where do you stand on this, Jono?
See, I enjoy talking in the movie. I like to make wisecracks during the movie and point out plot holes during the movie to the person I'm with. For me, it enhances.
That's even more annoying.
For me, it enhances my experience.
I would agree.
But I usually gauge by their reaction whether they appreciate it or not. If they just kind of go, and then don't give me anything,
just blank
you. Then
you're
I'm
so
just like,
serious,
okay,
John.
I'm
you're
just
so rational.
Hey, I'm. I have to be.
She wanted to just turn it up.
You're
a notch,
so middle of the road.
I have to be the medium between you two.
I tell you, when I saw Matrix Revolutions, there was one dude who was.
Which you gave 5 stars.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's not. We've dwelled on that before. But there was a dude sitting a couple of seats down from us who was. Yeah, look, I was a young, naive reviewer, just throwing out stars willy-nilly.
Was that the drop that I used at the start?
Reloaded or Revolutions. Yeah. Anyway, there's a dude sitting a couple of rows down from us, and he was talking the whole time through the movie, and people are just kind of trying to do the shh thing. And eventually, towards the end of the film, the big bit where the architect explains the whole, everything that's been going on for the previous 2.5 films, and this dude is still just talking away. and someone from up the back of the cinema said, "Will you please shut up?" And everyone in the cinema clapped. And the guy didn't say anything for the rest of the movie.
It's like when George Costanza's doing the opposite and he gets up and abuses the people behind him on Seinfeld. You haven't seen that one?
No. Oh, mate, I don't know. Maybe.
It's awesome.
Is that what I should do? Like, get up and just berate them?
Yeah, pretty much tell them, look, if you don't be quiet, we're going to have to take this outside.
Yeah, right. Pretty much. I want to start fights outside cinemas.
Yeah.
I think you're right about the wisecracks, though, enhancing the, you know, cinema experience.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I wouldn't have sat through Interstellar without the wisecracks.
Exactly.
You know, but made by myself and a friend.
And I admit to being the person that's like, what's going on? Who's that guy? Is that the same guy as before? You know? It's sometimes hard to follow, so having someone there that can help is often useful. But the thing with Matt is that I know this extends to watching movies at home, which I cannot fathom.
Yeah, that's batshit.
No, it
like
doesn't
he
really.
Watch a movie with his wife and not allow any speaking till it's finished.
No, I don't disallow it.
That's what it sounds like.
No, we just don't talk during the movie.
So like, if I came over to watch
we're just soulmates.
If I came over,
will you share the same love of watching a movie and not talking shit through it?
Sounds oppressive.
If I came over to watch Remember the Titans with you and you hadn't seen it before, but I had, would you allow me to talk?
No.
See? That's what I mean.
What if it's a film you have seen quite a few times?
That's okay.
What
if, and if we were all hanging out watching like Raiders of the Lost Ark, we could totally talk. I've seen it a million times.
Good.
But anytime watching a movie, see, movies are work for me. Like, that's my job.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm
you're just a really, good worker. Is what
you're talking. I'm just so dedicated to my job. I can't switch up.
Now, what about rituals? Because I have to have something to consume throughout the movie, whether it's a packet of lollies or chips or grapes.
I'm gonna
I have taken grapes into a movie.
I'm going to paint myself as just the most depressing guy to go to the movies with because I don't eat anything during movies.
You refuse to?
I just...
What if someone offers you some M&Ms or popcorn?
Maybe, I don't know. I guess it's because I go there every week. I'm like, well, I can't just get... If I get something every week, it's going to be A, expensive, and I'll just get really fat.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't.
Yeah, you wouldn't fit in the seats if you ate something every time you went
to
the movies.
They are really narrow seats. And there's, you know, minimal leg room.
Yeah.
But I usually take a bottle of water. Or if I forget, I'll buy a bottle of water there. So there's like $15.
Fascinating.
So, yeah.
I love the good Choc Top.
Yeah, my dad...
I've been to films recently where the Choc Top was better than the film.
Wow.
I had a cherry ripe.
Actually, you've talked about this on our podcast before.
This was in the first podcast.
Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
I'm a believer in the Choc Top, all right?
Yeah, so is my dad, and he usually finishes it during the trailers, which is the worst part of the Choc Top, is that you have to eat it straight away for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can't. It's going to melt otherwise.
I know, but that's why it's not the ideal thing to take in.
But that's good, though, because it gets all the whole wrapper noise crap
actually,
out of the way.
Actually, yeah, I do hate when someone's crackling a wrapper. Yeah.
Problem is,
so what's the difference between someone crackling wrappers and someone just talking constantly?
Well, I don't like that, but I whisper. When I do it, it's just between me and that person. It's not, hey, everyone in the room, listen to my wisecrack. No, they can't. The movie's loud.
There's quiet moments.
Well, that's when you don't make wise. What's a weird experience you've had at the movie? Because you mentioned Lord of the Rings and your Passion of the Christ and Blues Brothers. That would be a weird experience for other people there. When I was at Lord of the Rings, the first one, I remember vividly, I've mentioned it before, someone playing Snake on their Nokia and with the sound on. And it was driving me nuts.
Oh, yeah, you see, I played Snake on my Nokia at the ballet, but I wouldn't do it during a film.
Yeah.
But the ballet, that was boring.
So where do we stand on, you just brought up mobile phone use during movies, where do we stand on that?
I reckon brightness turned down, like, you know.
Don't let anyone else have to suffer because
you know.
Of it.
But what are you doing on the phone while you
could be maybe somebody messages you.
Yeah, maybe
you
it's know? An important message.
How important that I can't wait till the end of the movie?
Like your mum's in hospital or something?
Where do you want to meet after the movie?
Yeah.
Question mark.
Yeah, I just turn my phone off, or on silent at least. I just don't check
you're
it.
Such
yeah,
well, you turn you're it a purist, silent. Man.
I am.
That's all I
am
say.
Purist. I'm the wowser.
So you never... See, well, at least the reason guy. I mentioned trench coats before was because I always used to feel like I had to smuggle my food in, and I still kind of do. Because,
is that still a thing?
They used to check your bags and stuff, didn't they?
I know they frown upon it, but I don't think anyone like certainly the Warrnambool cinemas,
yeah,
you know, searching your stuff.
I refuse to buy something at the cinema, I have to also say.
You refuse? Why?
Because it's so overpriced.
Right.
And I'm just against
overpricing. Yeah, but you can't smuggle hot popcorn into the cinema.
Yeah, so I don't eat popcorn.
But what if you want popcorn?
Well, then that's a different
story. What if upon occasion, John O'Peck feels like popcorn?
Popcorn is the most overpriced food
stuff. It, yeah, it's salted oxygen, but it's delicious.
Salted cardboard.
Yeah.
With butter.
Salted, buttery cardboard.
Mm. But I used to, when I was a teenager, one of my friends worked at the cinema. I had a lot of friends that worked there over the years, actually. Way too many for a normal person. But one of them...
You make friends this, with the ushers, yeah, don't you?
No, no. But this was when, like, you couldn't take food in. And because he worked there, he just walked in with a plastic bag full of, like, Tim Tams and, like, a bottle of Pepsi and chips. And I was just like, man, you have all the rights.
You got the cinema, the privileges, yeah. My wife loves it when I talk about her in the podcast. She pretty much won't watch a movie without popcorn.
Yeah.
Now, like, it's just, and rather than, you know, go for lunch, she'll just go to the movies and get popcorn. And that's
is that just the cinema, or also?
Yeah, no, it's usually popcorn at home while we're watching movies as well. Yeah,
I actually had a friend that was down the street, hungry, went into the cinema, bought some popcorn, and walked out.
I got friends that do that.
My wife does that too. She would go to the cinema just to buy popcorn and then take it home.
Oh, man.
Is that weird?
Yes, no, the supermarket, it's like a dollar at the supermarket.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it different though? I don't eat popcorn, yeah, so I don't know. Does it taste different at the cinema?
Where do you stand on licensed cinemas? Cinemas where you can drink booze. How do you feel about that?
Mm. I had my first Gold Class experience a couple of weeks ago. Went and saw Avengers Age of Ultron at Gold Class at Crown, and it was awesome. It was so good. They got like wedges and glasses of wine and the bomb. Yeah, licensed cinema all the way. It beats smuggling in a flask of whiskey, which I've done before.
Yep.
Tell us that story.
I smuggled in a flask of whiskey to a movie. What?
How old were you? What movie was it? And how does that line up with your elitism in this topic?
I can't remember. It was like a midnight screening for something. And actually, it might have been when me and my friends watched all 6 Star Wars movies in a row at the earliest opportunity. No. So, yeah. So at about 6 o'clock in the afternoon, we sat down and watched Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, went to the midnight screening of Revenge of the Sith, went home, and then watched the Ridge Tridge. And so we were up until like 10 o'clock the next day. So,
yeah,
big, long marathon. And I think I may have had a flask of whiskey with me to just, you know,
to get you through, through Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
Oh,
pretty
God.
Much, yeah. I think it was. I think I started drinking from the Phantom Menace just to get through that, really.
Yeah, right.
Can you ever be justified, do you think, in ruining a movie for everybody?
No.
They've paid their money. Yeah, it's pretty low out. Oh,
that's what I was going to say.
Because I'd be like getting up in Passion of the Christ and goes, he comes back in 3 days.
That's another Seinfeld thing when he's watching Hindenburg and he says, that's got to hurt or something.
Oh, the humanity.
No, after the blimp explodes, he says, he has a one-liner that cracks everyone up. So then he goes to another screening of it to use the same line. And there's someone with a laser pointer stealing his thunder. Anyway, where do we stand on people clapping during a movie?
Weird. Oh, it's weird. Yeah, people clapping weird at the end of films. That makes me angry. That makes me really
it's
mad.
It's not Sundance.
It cannot hear you. The film cannot appreciate.
Yeah, but that's like watching sports and yelling at the TV. That's perfectly legit.
Yeah, but you...
They can't hear you.
Yeah, but I just figure that those people are morons.
Yeah, Sean doesn't get sports.
And they're in the privacy of their own home. That's the other thing. They can do what they like. If you're at home, if you want to dress up like Nick Cave and, you know, like cover your thighs in butter while you're watching Teletubbies, that's cool. That's fine. But when you're at the movies and the movie finishes, oh, and because it was a Holocaust pick, oh, we're all going to clap at the end because, you know, I'm being judged by the person.
People applauded the Schindler's List.
Well, I think people clapped. I think from memory, and I was like a young Hobbit height person at the stage, but I remember people telling me that when Saving Private Ryan was first getting screened, people were clapping at the end of Saving Private Ryan. Now, I could just be pulling that from weird sort of, you know, memories.
Probably, but...
Yeah. But they do. There are some films where people clap at the end, and I think it's all right at film festivals. It's all right at film festivals when the people who've made the film are there
in
the audience. People do it at nerdy movies, though, as well, don't they?
The biggest one I can remember is, and this is at the start of the film, not the end, was when the Phantom Menace first came out. Uh-huh. And the midnight start, yeah. screening and the Lucasfilm thing came up, and then it said Star Wars on the screen, and they went nuts. Everyone clapped and cheered. But at the end of the film, people were a little less enthusiastic yeah. about it. But I was at the screening.
You could hear sobbing.
Yeah. It's like, what have you done? I was at a screening of Pitch Perfect 2 the other day, and there was a couple of girls up in the back corner who were clapping them at the end of every musical performance.
Oh, yeah.
In the song, in the movie, and then they applauded at the end of the film. But it was only like maybe 30 of us in the cinema, and it was just like two diehard people who were clapping, and it was very strange.
When I saw The Dark Knight, people clapped the Joker's magic trick.
Oh, yeah,
his
right.
first appearance of the movie. Yeah, and I think that was during the wave of We Miss Heath Ledger.
Yeah, okay.
He's so amazing kind of thing.
And that's the thing. It's like, I think just clapping at the end of a film just for the sake of it is, you know, weird. I find it really strange. But you do get psyched for some films. Like, I was clapping and cheering all through the Blues Brothers. It's a bit drunk. But
yeah, but that's one of those... But there's a participation yeah, screening. Isn't yeah, it? It's like when people go to see Sound of the Music and they...
Yeah,
Sound of
the Music or Rocky
dress
Horror.
Up, yeah, and yeah. dress up and sing along and stuff. I mean, that's kind of different.
Yeah, and when you see Rocky and then you go outside and punch someone.
I've never seen Rocky. Oh, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No.
I've never seen Rocky either.
Rocky.
I haven't seen Rocky Horror Picture Show either.
Yeah.
Doesn't look that good.
People love the crap out of that
film. Doesn't mean it looks good.
Yeah. I just was reading online the other day about a reporter from the AV Club went to Marvel movie marathon. So they watched all 10 or 11 Marvel films in a row over some 29-hour period. And the audience there was applauding all the time. And he was sort of noting in each film, like, what was the moment when they were applauding the most? And it was sort of weird. It'd be like the start of a film, or it'd be like when Stan Lee does his cameo, or just be some random bit in a film.
They're good
cameos.
Reason,
yeah, but for some reason, everyone, they were in full applaud mode. And I guess that's because it's a marathon. It's kind of like, it's an event.
And they're all nerds.
Yeah. These are the uber fans.
Yeah.
I possibly would have been clapping if I'd been at one of those things.
But that would have ruined it for other people.
No,
Mr. Purist.
I have clapped at a movie before. But that was the filmmaker was there kind of thing.
Oh, okay. So, what movie was it?
Two Towers, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, you went to the premiere.
I went to the premiere in Wellington. Yeah, yes. Just going to drop that in there.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, Peter Jackson was it? Peter Jackson introduced the film. The Hobbits were sitting in the front row.
Did you go up to him and congratulate him personally afterwards?
Did you take a lock?
Or did you tell him maybe could have been a bit shorter, Peter?
I missed my opportunity to talk to him. I saw him at the after party, which was at the Te Papa Museum in Wellington. They had this Lord of the Rings exhibition that was opening. But I did manage to get autographs of a few of the Hobbits and talk to Richard Taylor, the head of the Weta Workshop.
Did you get to meet Dominic?
Yes, I got his autograph.
Dominic.
I think so, yeah.
Monaghan, yeah.
Yeah. I also met the members of Shehad that day. I was waiting to go on the red carpet. No, it was Shehad all the way. waiting to go on the red carpet in a holding pen on the side of the red carpet with the members of Shehad.
That's cool.
And chatting about that time they played in Warrnambool. That's nice.
Camp Down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to that show.
They played at Corefest.
Oh, yeah.
They played the Whalers one night in the Power one out.
Shout out to Anti Skeptic.
You asked about licensed cinemas. Where do you stand on licensed? I imagine you'd be totally down for that.
I'm totally down for it. But
Have you smuggled booze into a movie before?
Not from memory. I probably have, and I just don't remember it because I'm so smuggling drunk. Booze in. But I think, you know, I don't think they should all be licensed. I think cinemas for me are like a real like childhood thing. It's like, you know, I go to movies and I get popcorn because it's what I did when I was a kid, and it's great. And there is, like, I have to say, there is something great about going to see, like, a movie in the morning and getting junk food because you do feel like a kid again. But by the same token, I like going to see a movie at 11 o'clock on night when it's, like, hailing rain and you've got nothing better to do, and sitting in there with a jug of wine and just getting liquored up. I love doing that.
Responsible drinking.
Yeah.
It's responsible.
Listeners.
One jug of wine per day. Yeah. Don't doctors recommend that?
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you're listening, be responsible.
And while you're at it, gamble responsibly.
Don't watch films and drive.
Yeah. On your iPhone, yeah. So the next thing I just wanted to touch on briefly was, how does the TV home theater experience for you guys compare to the cinema? So for Matt, no talking at either, well, unless you've seen it five times.
The great thing is there's no other people there. That's good. Except for my wife.
Yeah.
See, my old like man, when the news is on each night, my old man will just order silence. SBS News will come on. And he's done this ever since I was a kid. Like, everybody in the room's got to be silent. If you try and talk to him, or you try and talk to anybody else, you know, it could be something that's not even, like, that interesting. It could just be about a dude that makes shoes in the Philippines, and the cyclone has gotten rid of his shoemaking.
That sounds
shack.
Interesting.
Well, it's interesting, but you know, like not 100% like relevant to him. Oh, yeah. Look, it would be front page with a spill, and then like a, you know, a whole spread. But he'll just order everybody to be quiet, and it's always made me really mad because you'll get home and you'll want to chat to everybody in the house, but because the news is on, you can't.
Yeah.
And
you don't live with your dad anymore.
No, though. I don't. But I got issues. I got deep seated issues. I see Leland Chin and I just break down into tears.
I don't like starting to watch a movie unless I know that I'll have enough time to finish it. That's one of my favorite things.
Absolutely.
And my wife doesn't care if she watches half a movie and then she's like, eh, I want to go to bed now. And I'm like, you can't go to bed. Movie hasn't finished.
I'm a horrible person.
And I'm the oppressive one. I didn't command the non-talking, but you're telling your wife, no, you can't leave. You have to watch the rest of
this. She can sleep on the couch.
I am a poor man's Matt Neal. I insist on showing like everybody the films that I love.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love films. I love certain directors. So much about, you know, films that and movies that I love. And I'll try and, like, during uni, I was trying to get my friends to watch, you know, movies like The Third Man, Orson Welles, or, you know, A Touch of Evil, or even something like introducing friends to David Fincher stuff. And we'd get halfway through the film, and be like, you know what, I feel like going for a beer. Turn it off, and I must have ruined so many films for friends just changed my mind halfway through.
So wait, you're making people sit down and watch this movie, and then halfway through you go, "Nah, I've seen this. Let's go."
All right. How does that make you a poor man's Matt Neal? That's like the anti Matt.
Yeah, you're like the yeah.
Well, even the anti John.
Well, I'm the anti Matt Neal then. All right, fine.
That's a really mean thing to do.
I know. I've got a good friend of mine. I'll often say to him, "Have you seen this film?" He'd be like, "Yeah, you made me watch half of it, and then you turned it off because you wanted to go to bed."
Can't they continue watching it without you?
They can, but you know, I kicked them out. It was like, you know, during uni, and I kicked them out of my room. But I've ruined a lot of good films for a lot of good people. Because I'm a bad person.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of talking about similar sort of things, but the sleeping during movie scene, I find I can't even sleep during a movie anymore.
Hypervigilant.
Yeah, I know the last time I fell asleep during a movie. And it was in 1997, I believe. And
I was watching
Return of the Jedi because we just every time the special editions came out, me and my mates would go see the special edition and then go back to one of our places and watch the whole trilogy again. So we did it three. So this was the third time we'd done that.
I'm not sure I believe that story, Matt Neal.
Why?
Because I would contend that you have probably passed out during films. You've come home from the pub. You know, or you've come home from a gig and you've been like, no, I want to watch this film. Let's put this film on. No. You put it on. You've gotten halfway through it and then you've just nodded off.
No.
You don't do that? You've got drunken discipline in the realm of film.
I never come home and go, I feel like watching a movie when I'm drunk.
That's strange.
Because I would have to concentrate to watch the movie and I can't do that while I'm drunk.
But what if you're just a little bit drunk? And you don't realize that you're drunk and you just...
Still haven't nodded off.
Can't write a review when you're drunk, Sean.
Yeah.
That's how Matt's mind works. If I can't write a review on this, it's not going to happen.
The last film I fell asleep during would have been... I'm like that. I remember the last one. It would have been 2009 and it was East of Eden.
Right, okay.
And I fell asleep during that.
Sherlock Holmes, Night at the Museum 2 were my last two at the cinema.
So I went to the Big Day Out. I can't remember what year it was, 2005 we'll say. And afterwards, we got driven halfway across Melbourne. We ended up in, I don't know, Dandenong somewhere. It was like we traveled for an hour after the Big Day Out. So it had been a long day. We traveled for an hour, got back to this guy's house, kept drinking a bit, and then someone said, oh, let's chuck on a movie. So it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're all just knackered, and so they chucked on a movie. They chucked on Apocalypto.
Right, Mel Gibson.
So everyone is absolutely knackered, and they've just gradually, slowly fallen asleep during the movie in this lounge room. And I can't sleep during a movie, and I'm sitting there going, I really want to sleep, but I can't. I have to watch this movie now.
Had you seen it before? Yes, I had.
That's some OCD. Yeah, it's a little bit wrong. But yeah, so I couldn't get to sleep until like 5 o'clock in the morning when the movie finished.
So if you want to torture Matt, start a movie when he feels like
you would be so seriously, if you get dragged into Guantanamo, I would like organize a David Lean marathon. So we'd start you on Lawrence of Arabia, then Dr. Zhivago, Bridge over the River Kwai. And we'd be getting into like the second week by that stage. And yeah, you would just give up all the information, and sleep deprivation through film would be the best way to like crack you mentally and emotionally.
No, because I'd probably go, I can't talk, I'm watching a movie.
No, but we'd turn the last film off and well, then we'd be like, where's the pipe bomb?
The movie's Phantom Menace.
On repeat.
That's a unique form of torture.
Yeah. Phantom Menace, the last Indiana Jones film, and the last Matrix on repeat. Until you tell
us. That's a 5-star movie, Sean. Right. And with that, I think it's time.
I've got all of them on DVD now. I'm going to sit down and watch the last two Matrix movies. And
try and defend them.
No, probably just point out how wrong I was.
Okay.
And own up to my wrongness.
Well, thank you, Sean, for joining us.
No, yes, you're thanks for coming back.
I think we've exhausted.
I've got nowhere to go options. Now. I kind of just stand in the rain with my collar up, looking into the newsroom windows.
And as always, if you're still listening,
can I come?
You can keep up with us on Twitter. Matt is at Dr. Matt Neal. I'm at Jono himself.
Are you still on Twitter, Sean?
You'll find me under the bridge most nights. Yes.
And with that, we'll say have a super terrific week.